Dave Wilbur, Peter McCormick, tag teaming on life, health, and turf, unscripted.
Welcome to round six of Wilbur and McCormick, tag team
really
unscripted, presented by Turf Rad. It's been a few weeks since our last session, but life has a habit of intervening and throwing curveballs, so to speak. So I'll let Dave take it away from there.
Well, hey, Peter. It's good to see you. Well, I think the thing that we've done here is we've been transparent about everything that goes on in our world, right? And so when I lost my buddy Bruce a couple of weeks ago, my favorite dog, we talked about it. And it was hard, but it was good. And recently, Peter has gone through the same thing with his buddy Frosty. And so we've both experienced this loss. Peter's more recent than I have been. And Peter, quite frankly, I'm amazed you're even here. So we put this off for a few days, and it was, I think it was good, but I was worried about you. I was worried about you the whole time. So,
well, I appreciate that. It was, you know, this was at the tail end of my wife had been away for 3 weeks caring for her mother, who's 102, down in New Jersey. So I was home alone with the dogs for 3 weeks, you know, which is okay. Yeah. Frosty had part of old age. He, you know, he was blind. He had gotten incontinent to a degree and just slept a lot. I mean, the last couple of months he slept 22 hours a day.
Well, dogs sleep a lot anyway, but
so when he would get up, we'd have to scoot him outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that was in the middle of the night, very often, at least, you know, once, twice a night, which, you know, takes its toll after a while. But the real problem with Thanksgiving weekend, I think it was Saturday, that he was also epileptic. And, you know, his seizures had been under control for 6 or 7 years. But they came back.
That's just tough. Yeah.
A couple of months ago, but Saturday, Thanksgiving weekend, he had three.
Ugh.
And, one of which was particularly violent. And, you know, the way that they cope with it is they want to walk or run.
They want to run it off.
Yeah. And so the third of the three was at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm out, on the driveway with him on a leash, and he's just running around in circles, you know, for 45 minutes. I'm freezing my ass off out there. And
he's blind. So
yes,
yeah, that's just tough.
And it sucked. It just sucked. So Patty got home Monday. Thankfully, my daughter went down to pick her up and bring her back, so I didn't have to do it. But
yeah,
it got to the point where even for him to lay down, you know, because each one of those seizures kind of took a bite out of his.
Sure, it takes some cognitive brain stuff
away. Cognition or whatever. And so it got to the point where in order for him just to lay down, he would go around and circle 10, 12, 15, 20 times.
Oh,
just
boy.
Just to lay down.
Yeah.
And we said, man, you know, we didn't want to risk another seizure and all of that. So,
well, I think, and this is, I mean, since dogs are such a big part of the turf grass community, you know, and everybody goes through this, and we see it on Twitter and stuff. And the hard thing is, you know, when do you know? You know, when do you know? And with Bruce, I had to reach out to a couple of friends who were dog people, dog rescue people. I'm like, you know, how do I know? What should I keep trying? And because, you know, this vet wants to try this and that vet wants to try that. But like, I could see that the quality of his life was not going to get better. You know what I'm saying? We might.
Yeah, there's a fine line between, you know, not calling in the Reaper for your own needs or for his, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah. at this point, he was running on empty. He was just a shadow of his former and self and what and he should
know,
be.
You know. And that's the thing. Yeah. They'll tell you.
And it sucked.
Well, I'm sorry, Peter. And I know this is hard and I don't want to dwell on this. I don't think we want to dwell on that. But
you wrote an amazing
piece in TurfNet that people can read. It was quite the tribute to Frosty. And that was something.
We every once in a while I get spurred on to write again. And it was certainly therapeutic for me to write that. I think a lot of people, dog lover or not, there's some life lessons in there. And
I mean, it was a beautifully written piece. That's the thing about writing, is that when you're motivated and you know a little bit how to use words, like it comes, it comes pretty fast. The best stuff I've written for you for TurfNet and just in my life have either come out of a moment of pain or just, by the side of the road with the, with the iPhone in my hand.
Well, we talk about glimmers for those of you out there listening or watching for the first time, a glimmer is a small moment of joy or peace that arises from, noticing and appreciating simple things in life. And when you get in the habit of looking for them, because we know that we're going to have to share them at this, our next session here, you look for them and they're all around us. So certainly one of the glimmers of this whole thing and having written that column in TurfNet was the fact that I've been contacted by a lot of people.
Right.
More than just the, sorry for your loss and that stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. But a lot of guys I hadn't heard from or talked to in decades.
Right. Wow. Wow.
And, that's just so cool. They several of them shared their own dog stories.
Yeah.
Quite a few of them expressed appreciation for the fact that I'm writing again, or I did write again.
Sure.
Because that, that was, if I had to point to one thing without, being boastful, but in the early days of just having a print newsletter before the online thing took off, it was, my column every month was what I think resonated with people. And
it for sure did. Absolutely.
So if I had to find a glimmer in this whole thing, well, actually there are two.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you another one.
Right.
The response to my written piece was big for me. It was very heartening and just great to hear from some of these guys. The other twist to this thing is that we've got another dog coming.
I was hoping you'd mention.
Young Kobe. And this is one of those serendipitous, whatever.
Right.
We had gotten our dog Marley from a woman down in foster mom down in Georgia 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And Marley came up and became a great part of our family. And we knew that this woman she's not a commercial, huckster like some of them can be.
Sure.
'Cause some of these rescue people they're just agents. They handle the paperwork, but this woman actually had the dogs in her home, and she's actually got a literal dog house, not a little pissant thing, but a small home.
Oh, like a house
with
for the
multiple
dogs.
Rooms and air conditioning and doggy doors and all this stuff, that they can go in and out. But in any case, so she texted Patty, and this was, maybe a month ago. She said, I got this little dog here that's she called it a golden mix, which – We fell for that golden mix thing.
The golden mix thing is kind of ubiquitous for some people.
If any of those people want to sell a dog, call it a golden mix and boom.
Yeah.
We felt Frosty was labeled a golden mix. There wasn't a drop of golden in him.
It's a great Pyrenees, no doubt. Yeah.
And Marley was labeled a golden mix. And the only thing golden about her was her coloring and her appetite.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, so she said, we think it's maybe a lab or a golden or slash hound mix because it's, you know, got floppy ears. 6 months old, nice dog, was not treated well, you know.
Yeah.
But she said the dog is here, you know, plays well with my dogs. She thought if we were interested, it would be a good dog for us. And we said, well, sure, but not the right time because Frosty was still with us and it would not have been fair to him to bring in a young dog that's going to jump all over him, that he can't see dog coming. And, you know, it would not have been right. But we told the woman, hey, so, you know, stay in touch. If things change, we'll let you know. And things changed. So striking while the iron's hot, I guess, we FaceTimed with her down there and met young Kobe. So he'll be making his way north just after the first of the year. Sometimes I wonder whether I'm out of my mind when I think about the training.
We can both talk about that a little bit. I got news of my own that's a glimmer.
Hit us. Do it.
Yeah, well, so it's so funny, these rescue people, right? Because it's kind of a similar story, though. The person who was involved with Bruce's rescue, who fosters a ton of dogs, like almost, you know, like she's into the hundreds now that she's fostered.
Yeah.
And I follow her on Instagram and stuff. And, you know, she's always posting about the stuff she's doing. And a couple of months back, the group that she's involved with, which is called POSCO, POS Colorado, right? POSCO, they rescued a female kind of tan Australian cattle dog, which is common in Colorado. She was a stray, I guess, or somebody dropped her off or whatever, but it turns out she was pregnant, right? So she was going to foster this dog, and then suddenly the dog's pregnant, the dog's going to have puppies. And so she's been, you know, The dog had puppies. So she's been posting about this, about the pigs, you know, about the puppies, and I don't know, they named them after candles or something from Bed Bath. It's weird, like, you know, one of them is flannel and the other's Christmas cabin, and like
you might have to change that.
Dog people, weird, right? And so, you know, all this went down with Bruce, and I kept her in the loop because she was a big fan of Bruce's, right? And all that sort of stuff. And she reached out to me and she said, you know, Mama dog here is going to need, you know, a home or something, right? So you might think about that. You know, you might think about fostering her or doing something. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just can't. I can't think about this. And so I talked to her last week and I said, you know, what's going on with Mama? Because she might fit in here. And she said, well, there's somebody else that wants Mama, but you really need to look at one of these pups. Now here's the wrinkle, okay? First of all, I didn't want a puppy because God almighty, it's a lot of work. And these are, you know, these guys are 9 weeks old like today. And, but evidently Mama got involved with two different boy dogs because she had nine puppies and, seven of them are Australian catalog, you know, and, what's the mix? It's like Australian catalog and American Staffy pit bull. Right. So they did their genetics. Did you know this, that you can do a dog? You can do a genetic test for dogs.
Yeah.
I guess I knew, but I didn't really. So a bunch of these dogs had one set of genetics and then two of them had another set.
How the hell's that happen in the same litter?
I mean, she shagged two different males.
Like,
that's what it means. Means that two different males got to her. So the one side, the two male puppies are about a third Shar Pei and a third pit bull and a third this Australian cattle dog thing, right?
So, that's about the weirdest. It must be a Colorado thing.
I don't know, Peter. And maybe this isn't exact science. I don't know.
So you're going to go for one or what?
Yeah. So I went over there this weekend to see these dogs. There were two that are unspoken for, two males, one of the Australian catalog side and one on the pit bull side, right? Or one on the sharp, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're very different. Their ears are different. There's a whole different, they're brothers, whatever. And the little pit bull is, he's white with some black spots. And oh my God, he got me. He's mellow and cool and chill. And she said, this dog is going to be amazing. And she's right. So I fed all this here's the great story. I fed all this into ChatGPT, right? A bunch of pictures of the dog and the dog's genetics and all that sort of stuff. And ChatGPT, and I'll send you the photo so you can use it. And ChatGPT came up with what the dog would look like when it's older.
So you can input photos into that?
Yeah.
I thought they were all text prompts.
No. Can put photos in and I put all that in and I did it for both of those male dogs. Who's gonna look like what when they get older? So, but I'm a pit bull guy, I'm an American Staffy guy, and so and the thing I don't want to do here is I don't want to, there'll never be another Bruce, but these pups need homes, and so far, this one wasn't spoken
that's
for.
What I'm so. Looking at I'm looking at this next guy is certainly not a replacement for no. Frosty, because there is no replacing, but he's an adjunct. He's an additional. Yeah. He's number 9 in our line. So
and my female pit bull that's here with me every day in the office and stuff, she and Bruce were always together and with me, and she's been alone and she's miserable. She needs a buddy. Yeah. She needs something to do, and she's an experienced mama that we rescued off the streets. So so she's going to do well with a pup. Right. It's good learning, for the pup and for her. And the German Shepherd will do fine too. So it's going to work out.
So you never did a DNA test on Bruce.
Never did. Should have. But I don't think there was
Frosty,
much question.
We
wasn't
found
much question about him,
Well, ironically, I saw a dog on YouTube the other day. I was looking at, starting to look at dog training videos, hey. Right? But in any case.
Me too.
I saw a Cane Corso.
Yeah.
That looked had the ears and the whole jet black, looked exactly like Bruce.
Like Bruce, yeah. Well, a lot of people ask me that about Bruce, but Corsos are bigger.
Yeah.
In fact, there was one at one of the local rescues.
That's a breed you never see on the East Coast.
Yeah. The Corsos are bigger. There was one here that was in one of the local shelters. He's 110 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they cut the ears on the Corsos like they do in a lot of pit bulls and stuff. I'm not going to cut the ears on this little guy.
Yeah.
I thought about it, but now it's expensive. It's like $1,000 to get it done, right.
Why would you do that?
That's just looks,
I don't care for the look. We did Frosty's DNA, and he was 50% Great Pyrenees, 25% Labrador, and 25% other Asian breed.
Other things, yeah.
Which I'm guessing are like Maremmo sheepdogs and, stuff like that. Stuff.
Yeah.
But
anyway, I'm gonna.
So did you go for it?
Yeah, he's he's not quite ready to leave mama just yet. He needs a couple more weeks, but I guess he's coming right around Christmas time. So we'll see if my 58-year-old body can handle training a young pit bull pup.
Well, we had the option of having the dog arrive up here on the 21st, which we thought. Given the holiday and the mayhem and, all the stuff, that it would probably be best for him if we just put it off till after the holidays so that things are nice and, calm and,
yeah,
bit more. So,
yeah. Well, we'll see how all this goes, but I'm excited, and I have a healthy fear of it all too.
From a very selfish standpoint, I need another dog.
Yeah, me too.
Because they're my walking buddies. It gets my ass up off the couch and out the door every morning. And I don't like walking by myself. Last summer was the first in 20 years that when I would walk from our place down to the lighthouse at the tip of the island where we are and back, which is about a mile round trip. First time in 20 years that I didn't have any dogs with me. I mean, Frosty was still alive, but he wasn't going to do that walk.
Right.
And wow. It was just weird. Something was out of balance. It was out of harmony something was, it was bad.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Well, we'll see all this. So these are our glimmers are about animals and our pain is about animals. So.
I've got another one.
Oh,
so tough. Yeah. One more glimmer. A couple of nights before Patty came home. So, you know, it was over Thanksgiving weekend. I took Frosty out 9 o'clock, whatever, to do his business before we went to bed. And took a flashlight with me. And we're kind of on the walk out to the road. The road goes uphill. So we turned uphill. And it's, you know, it's a small neighborhood it's all gravel roads and stuff. So he's sniffing around and I had this flashlight and I turned it uphill in the road and there is a barred owl.
Okay.
Sitting.
Did you say barn owl?
Barred. B-A-R-R-E-D. A barred owl.
Barred owl. Okay. Yeah.
Sitting right in the middle of the road.
Wow.
And of course I did a double take. I hear them all the time, particularly when it's really cold in the winter, but you don't see them very often.
Okay.
And so I've always loved owls. I think they're the coolest things.
They are great.
Particularly the way they can swivel their head around.
I know.
So
that's something.
I was shining the flashlight toward this guy, not trying not to spook him or anything. And he did that. He was looking at me and he turned his head 180 degrees to look out the back of him. Then he turned his head around again and he decided to fly off. But the coolest thing was that, and again, not seeing them very often, this owl's wingspan had to have been every bit of 3 feet.
Oh, really? They're big. Okay. I thought they were one of the small owls.
To me, that was one of those things where you kind of wish you had a camera or something, but it was a 10 second experience that I guess that's the pure glimmer thing.
Was it white? Was it gray?
It was gray.
It was gray. Yeah. So it had some contrast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking at a picture. That's why I'm looking over here and it's like, looking at my other monitor. Wow. What a gorgeous animal.
Yeah. It was cool.
That's my favorite raptor, you know, owls. They're just amazing. Yeah. Huh. Well, there's supposed to be some spiritual meaning to seeing an owl. I don't know what it is, but there's some wisdom thing.
That's is where there?
The wisdom thing comes from. Yeah. There's
well,
visited by some
well, happening a couple of days before Frosty bit the dust.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure that was if there was some sort of spiritual connection.
Knows.
I think I'll pass next time.
Right. Right. So, okay. So all of this leads to us talking about, we keep teasing about this. And in fact, I got an email the other day from somebody that said, why do you and Peter keep teasing about talking about the black dog and depression and all that sort of stuff?
Because there's another stuff to talk about too.
There's good stuff to talk about. And it's not to say that's not good stuff, but we're both pretty experienced in that whole world. And the thing that I see for me is, and what's helped my growth considerably is understanding the symptoms and the triggers, you know, and we were talking about being mad, you know, about losing our buddies and, you know, the anger that comes with that. It's not always just, you know, and it's also that lack of wanting to do stuff that, you know we want to do. You know, I mean, I know I kind of, you know, I really went into my shell, you know, for some days there. And now I understand what the triggers are. And I also understand what those small symptoms are. And I got to step up taking care of myself, you know?
Yeah.
And, so we've both been through that. Maybe it's a good thing to talk about. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, it, in particular, this past Saturday was one of those things where the friggin' landslide hanging over my head, that thing that was just kind of waiting to go, came crashing down. Yeah, I mean, I've suffered from depression for most of my adult life, on and off. And after a lot of work and some medication, thankfully, the medication did its job and I could back off on that from some of the dosages I was taking before. But a lot of holistic stuff, just common sense in a lot of ways, eating properly, trying to get enough sleep, exercise, all that. I've been in pretty good shape, you know, emotionally, mentally, the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But I always use the analogy of that day to day for me, it's like walking on a balance beam or walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
Or playing a game of pickup sticks, you know, where all it takes is something to just knock you off. And yeah, so this whole thing with Frosty knocked me off. And and I realized, I talked to Patty about it, and she said, you got to go talk to somebody or whatever.
Go and get some help.
Yeah, but I said, you know, the thing is, I'm not depressed in the classic sense of, you know, moping around. And I said, I'm pissed off. Mm-hmm. I'm angry about a lot of things going back several months.
Right.
And, you know, anger is closely correlated with depression.
It is very much so.
I think it's important, as we talk about this, it's important to note that neither you nor I have any training in this. We're soldiers. We're warriors.
Yeah.
We've been through this, crap, and we speak from a personal experience standpoint.
I mean, I like to say that I'm a pretty good expert on myself, you know, and I know when I first started talking about all this, and especially when that Golf Digest article came out in 2019, you know, a lot of people reached out. Some of them, you know, needed real help, right? And I had to be really careful and say, listen, I'm not a therapist. This is not what I do. You know, I can show you some tricks on how to go get help and how to recognize what's going on with your symptoms. I mean, just based on me, but you have to go get the work done. And, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever's going on, right? Whether it's a chemical imbalance, all of the above, you know, just emotions, who knows? There's work to do to try to figure this out. It's complicated. And that's why
it's not easy. And you got to do it yourself. I mean, you can talk to a therapist and all that, and that's great, valuable.
You know, I think the thing with me is that, and I didn't really, I didn't really get it until a lot later. You know, I kind of went through this. And I think in my generation, Gen X, you know, we kind of came up with Nirvana and Kurt Cobain and the grunge thing and, you know, a lot of that. And a lot of it was like, okay, you know, angst is a good thing, right? You know, preserve your angst, right? Was part of the whole deal.
It is. And,
well, that's what a lot of my generation thought, you know, hey, that keeps me edgy. That keeps me, you know, that keeps me happening. And I kind of ran with that, you know, I've got my edge, right? And I didn't realize that edge, that tightrope for me was you know, not such a good place to be, right? And it took me a long time to kind of sort that out. So I thought that was just kind of normal. This is who, you know, this is who Dave is, right? He's going to, you know, he's going to be a little bit, I don't want to use the word volatile, but just like edgy, you know, edgy, edgy guy. But also, you know, also in moments fun to be around, and some moments no fun to be around too, you know? So I was fine with my loner self. I didn't need, you know, I didn't need to, I didn't need to worry about social stuff too much. But I think the, you know, the big thing is that the darkness, if you will, became a pretty familiar friend. You know, I knew how to talk to it. I knew how to think about it. I knew how to deal with it, kind of, until it got to a point where I couldn't, where it was no longer friends with me, where it was no longer an acquaintance, you know, when it was really a real saboteur, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when the, you know, when my life was being sabotaged and when I started to think that I had no value, there's no reason for me to be on the planet. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. You know, all these sorts of really delusional things. That's when I realized that I didn't have control of this, and that angst that I was talking about had gone way too far.
Yeah.
And, once I recognized that, you know, then it was a battle, you know, 'cause you want it back, you know, you want that familiar thing back, but the familiar things, the things have been hurting me for years. So now it's like, it's, you know, I kind of say it's like dating the toxic girl, you know, you don't want to go back, but then you do go back. And, I did that, you know, for some years and finally found my way through it.
I actually gave it a name. I called him George.
George.
When George was around, man, I wasn't a happy guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the things that, that I had to do,
not to almost, say that you had multiple personalities.
Right. Like you said, it was almost a companion.
Yeah. A familiar. Exactly. Yeah,
one of the things that I found I had to do almost immediately after Frosty's demise was to remove all the triggers around the house. You know, he liked to sit in front of we kept a fan. He liked cool air blowing over him.
So he had a big, thick coat.
Yeah, so we had I had to put the fan away. I had to, you know, special box of medicated kibble was, it's going to be a long time before I can pick a rotisserie chicken again.
Right. Because that was his diet.
Was three of them a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember when my father passed away from pancreatic cancer, I don't know, 20 some years ago, his waning moments, all he wanted to eat or he could eat was cantaloupe. Yeah. I haven't had cantaloupe since. I couldn't. You know, but so, you know, removing triggers like that and, you know, kind of digging into the anger thing with me I had to go through, you know, one of the things that pisses me off, and I don't want to get into it, is the whole, you know, this whole politics thing and the upcoming transition and all that kind of shit. But in any case, this, you know, that stuff is all over any of the
news. It's everywhere you look. It's everywhere. It's
everywhere. So I spend a lot of time on YouTube, and for those of you out there who don't spend the $13 or $14 a month to get rid of the advertisements,
get rid of the ads,
do it, man. That's the best thing, because that, to me, YouTube is the ultimate reality TV. And I've learned so much about random stuff that maybe it's of utility or maybe not, but you know, but I found I had to, you know, there's a setting or a switch for each one of those things. It said, you know, ignore this particular video or don't show me this channel again.
Yeah.
So I had to go through and I, you know, all of this post-election crap, just don't put it in my feed. And I don't want to see it. Don't want to know about it. Don't want to watch it. Don't want to even be aware of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's a great thing, is like you can curate your feed, and you should, you know, you should actively, you know, don't just rely on the algorithm to give you stuff, because it's going to decide what might be popular or what other people are doing. You know, no, Like, you have to curate that feed, you know, in all of those kinds of things. And for sure with YouTube, for sure. You know?
On the other hand, you know, we've talked about turf Twitter and all that kind of stuff, man, that's fallen fast.
Yeah. There's a lot less talk there. And then a few of us moved over to Blue Sky, which is a very similar platform to Twitter.
I like it even less. Yeah. To me, it's, well, there's not that many, but you have to rebuild your audience.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, is we're rebuilding, you know, the groups. And
it's a bad time of year, given the fact that the cool season guys are done. They're tired. They, you know, they don't want to know anything about anything. And the warm season guys are, you know, are cranking up.
Yeah.
Where the hell was I going to go with this?
Well, I think I kind of know where you were going with it, is that, you know, we're all trying to figure out how to keep that community sort of thing and also stay away from all the bad stuff. You know, that's what I have to do. You know,
I
want to watch Paul Hurst videos and Paul McCormack's videos and stuff every week. You know, I want to see that stuff. And but I don't want to see, and this is not putting my head in the sand or whatever, but I just, you know, I don't want to see everybody's opinions about, like, this United Healthcare guy. You know, I just don't want to read about all that stuff. I don't have time for it. My brain doesn't need it, you know, and everybody's conspiracy theories, which that seems, now it seems to be like the bigger conspiracy theory you have, the more attention you get, which is bizarre to me.
You know, well, people shouting at the moon, you know.
I like a good story as much as anybody. And, you know, and sometimes when they turn out to be true.
Nobody knows. They're just just blowing stuff out of their ass, you know. But a certain amount of that factors into this anger that I feel. I'm pissed off at Elon Musk for completely screwing up Twitter. No, I'm serious.
I think Twitter was going to get screwed up whether Musk bought it or not.
But
you know,
man, it was pretty.
I understand what you're saying.
It was pretty quick.
Oh yeah, no, he made some big changes. Sure,
done. Yeah, well, the net for me is that I feel a sense of loss.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, I've gone over to Blue Sky, and to me, that's, you know, it's hollow, it's superficial. A couple of functional things that I don't like is I haven't figured out how to bookmark. What the hell do you call those things? Skeets or something?
Yeah.
How do you? You know, my primary reason for even going to Twitter is to harvest stuff of interest to put into our turf blog aggregator thing or email. Oh,
right.
On Tuesdays.
Sure, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so far as I'm concerned, I don't see any way that I can tag these things in Blue Sky.
Really show up over. Yeah, I agree. Right.
I don't know. We've strayed from the black dog of depression.
How'd we do that?
I don't know. Well, maybe we don't want to talk about it all that much.
No. My worry always is I don't want to, you know, I don't want to turn people off with a negative thing, but I deal with it every day. And I feel like I'm dealing with it rather well. And considering, I had some horrible days after Bruce passed, you know, but I think about myself a decade ago, and had I went through that, that would have been bad. Really bad.
You know, I should note on here that in one of our previous sessions, I mentioned, as I did today, I think, that I've been able to scale back the medication that I take and that type of thing. And a friend of mine, Brian Flynn, who is my Sunday morning Zoom buddy and summer neighbor, who is a PhD psychologist. Yeah, not a psychiatrist, but he's a psychologist.
Not an MD, but okay.
He's a PhD, yeah. So after one of them, he's listened to all of these so far, and he cautioned me. He said, be careful about poo-pooing the value of medication. He said, you know, from a historical perspective, and he's older than I am, so he's got history. He said, when you look back, or if you were to look back to the days of, you know, Nurse Ratched and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. No, seriously. Yeah. He said there was some serious, serious psychoses that, you know, that medication has alleviated in large part.
Yeah, for sure.
So he was just cautioning that, you know, don't downplay, because medication is important. And talk therapy is important.
Absolutely.
And from my understanding, there's a synergy involved in both of them when you do them both.
I agree. Yes. There's also a part of it, which is learning, you know, is learning the tools, you know, to deal with it and all that sort of stuff, which comes from both of those areas, both from the, you know, from the med side and from the talk therapy side, and the cognitive behavior that you have to adopt to or adapt to. Yeah. Or bring with you. So I don't poo-poo the medicines at all. And, you know, and I mean, you know, full disclosure, I still take an antidepressant. I'm on a way lower dose than I was.
So do I.
But the thing is that I don't know without that, if I'd have been able to progress, you know, really quickly when I was really in danger.
Yeah.
And so I had to, you know, I had to really embrace that, you know, because in my, you know, my turfgrass philosophy, it's like, listen, don't run for the chemicals first, right? Look at everything else. But, you know, and I was trying to do everything else, but I just didn't quite have the, I didn't have the skills and I didn't have the ability, you know, as well. So that's kind of what the meds did for me.
Yeah. And, but again, the difference is if you're going to spray for Pythium, you've got a contact that's going to work overnight.
Yeah.
The psychotropic, if that's the right word, medications, by and large don't work that quickly.
No.
They could take a couple weeks to ramp up. So it's not like taking an Advil for a headache.
No. No, it's not.
Although I understand that some of the, I never dealt with, anxiety.
Yeah.
Some of the anti-anxiety medications do work pretty quickly. And again, we're not doctors,
sure.
You know, yeah, so no. Don't take any of this stuff. You know, this is just personal experience.
Well, I know for me, I did an anti-anxiety med while I was getting well. But it was, you know, it was Klonopin, it was a benzo, and there was a limited amount of time I could do that before it became, you know, risky. Right. So it's like, this is going to help me for a little bit till I kind of deal with, you know, where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I haven't had to go, back to that. You know, the anxiety part is the part I can manage, you know, best without meds. I don't need to go take a Xanax, you know, to chill out, or I also don't need to, you know, drink or smoke weed or do any of those things to, you know, to deal with my anxiety. So I think for so many people, they're just looking to feel better. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in trying to feel better.
My challenge right now is, having been knocked off the balance beam, I got to find a way to climb back up on it. Get back up there. You know, it's.
But don't you think you have more tools now than you did a decade ago? There you go.
Of course. Yeah.
So, you know, you got to climb, but this time, you know that.
Well, and a lot of it again is common sense. I mean, it's, eat well.
Yeah.
You know, don't eat a bunch of crap because, you know, stuff your face with garbage because you don't feel good. Don't do that. Drink a lot of water. You know, get sleep. Sleep well. Try to sleep well.
In the turfgrass community, we probably don't sleep enough. You know, really. I mean, I know in the summers, I didn't, you know, if I got 4 or 5 hours, I was lucky.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's not good long term.
No, I think a lot of people get used to it. It's like a muscle that you have, and you know, hey, I can be sleep deprived and all that sort of stuff. But eventually the long-term effects are, you know, are really bad. So for me, the very best medicine is sleep, you know, and, it's also the biggest indicator about when things are starting to kind of go wrong for me is because I start not being able to fall asleep or playing the insomniac thing, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and, yeah, to focus on sleep a little bit, you know, and do all the tricks.
Yeah. Well, for several months, well, you know, I never have a problem falling asleep. My problem in the evening is staying awake through, yeah, you know, TV shows or whatever. We're watching the second season of The Diplomat on Netflix, which is
actually pretty good.
Yeah. Actually, but in any case, you know, I lights out 9:30. I'm up at 3 o'clock, 3:15, 3:30, you know, so, yeah. 5 hours, five and a half, maybe six. The other day, just the other day, it was shortly after 9 o'clock, I killed the light and I didn't get up till 4:15, which was, huge.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah.
Hey, there's one other thing I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
And this, you know, kind of ties into the whole thing a little bit, but early on we talked about, you know, diet and supplements and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was singing the praises of Seed, S-E-E-D, DSO1, which I take two capsules every day, straighten my gut out.
Yep.
But you mentioned that you...
Oh, the mushroom coffee.
Do some mushroom coffee.
Yeah.
And I asked you if there was a particular brand, and you said Everyday Dose was one.
Yeah.
And I happened to notice during all of this Black Friday hoopla that Everyday Dose had a 25, it was a thing where I could get a month's worth of product,
okay,
as well as a little measuring spoon,
nice,
and a little frother thing.
And the frother, which is actually really good. Yeah.
For $25. I said, I will flip $25 in the air to see if this is of any value.
Okay.
No, seriously. Yeah, I'll try it. Sure. For $25. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So it came and I've tried it to, 3 days now, I think. And my major concern, and what this is a mushroom, particularly lion's mane and chaga, extract.
And turkey tail. Yeah.
They're not ground up.
Right.
It's an extract that they combine with, I think it's instant coffee.
There's a little bit of coffee, but there's not a lot of caffeine there.
Yeah, you know, and
it's about 10% of the usual.
There's
caffeine.
Some collagen and theanine or something like that in there too.
Yeah, there's some supplement value too. Yeah. Right.
And I thought my main concern was it was going to taste like shit, and I wasn't going to be able to drink this stuff. But I was surprised in that there's no residue. There's no skank down in the bottom of the mug.
Yeah, no, it dissolves. Exactly.
So I'm a black coffee drinker. So what I did right out of the gate was rather than mix a bunch of, you know, half and half or sugar or any of that stuff in there, like, you know, hardcore it right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I did. And with this frother thing, so you put this big scoop, which is probably
a tablespoon.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that goes in the mug and you can have it cold. You can have it hot. You could pour coffee over it if you wanted to.
Right.
And then I've learned that you want to do that in a tall cup. You don't want to do it in your coffee if you're going to froth it. So it's got this little USB rechargeable whizzer thing that you can stick and go up and down like this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Thing, yeah.
I think it's the collagen in there that sort of gives it almost a creaminess.
Right.
It was pretty good, I thought. I mean, it certainly wasn't you know, certainly wasn't or didn't have a negative taste or a negative feel on your tongue or, you know, any of that. No objections at all. Tasted pretty good. So what are the benefits of this thing supposed to be? Supposed to be some mental acuity benefits, supposed to be some gut health benefits, sleep.
Yep.
So, hey, I'm going to give it, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And actually, Patty tried it too, and she thought it was pretty good. So
I love it. I put it in my protein powder, you know, my protein shakes. Because I'm always struggling to get enough protein. And, I put it with coffee. I put it with chai, you know, because I like chai tea. So I put it in my chai tea to dirty it up a little. And, I can tell the difference. I can tell the difference when I don't know what I did. I didn't reorder or something once. And so I went a month without it. Or I put it on pause or something because there's a subscription deal. And I felt different. I felt real different. So
it is a marketing machine.
Oh yeah, they're good at it.
Sign up for this thing, and actually from because doing some of that stuff myself, I appreciate the avenue that they take to do that because they make it fun.
Those guys are in Austin and they're fun guys.
It's visually pleasant. You'll get an email every day, but they're teaching you in addition to, you know, trying to get you to buy it, you know, giving you a 30% off on the next month.
I'm a fan. It's helped me a lot.
Yeah. And from what I gather, you know, looking at their stuff, some of it, like the mental acuity and that kind of thing, will manifest itself pretty quickly, whereas the gut health and that kind of thing sort of comes along in the second or third month. But hey, I'm excited about it.
I am too.
So thanks for that. That's why
I told you about it.
Yeah. Big Dave, thanks for that. You got me into the mushroom coffee.
Well, it's also good for my appetite suppression.
How are you doing with that? We haven't touched base on your...
Great. Oh, I'm doing great.
You still dropping pounds?
I am. My struggle right now is that I need to... Again, part of this is nutrition and part of this is how I exercise and stuff, but I'm trying to keep a hold of my muscle mass.
Yeah.
You know, I can't lose muscle. And so I have... You know, I go in and get scanned and you know, figure that out. Right. So my body fat percentage is going down. My lean muscle mass is going up or staying the same. It's kind of bouncing a little bit right now. So what that is telling me is that I've got to increase use of my big muscles, you know? Right. So my knees are all jacked up. So doing squats and stuff like that's really tough, but I'm finding ways to use my bigger muscles. Kettlebell's great. So,
you know, one thing that I've always been tempted to get is a heavy bag.
Yeah. Lots of people really swear by that.
Hey, I've got a place down the basement. I could hang it up, get down there and take your aggressions out and dance around a little bit and do the Muhammad Ali, you know, soft shoe shuffle kind of a thing. And yeah. I think it would be fun. I don't know whether it's something that I would use for like 3 days and then say the hell with it. And
Yeah. I don't know. One of my friends here goes to Title Boxing, which is kind of just down the street, and does a boxing routine, and they go hit the bags there and stuff. And so he keeps trying to get me to go. Maybe I should see what that's about, you know? But
my problem is if I can't do it in the house here or on the property, I'm not going to do it because I don't get in the car to go into gyms and crap like that.
That's my deal too. I work here. I like it here. I want to do my stuff here. My kettlebells sit around the corner, you know, I can go grab them and use them. And that's kind of what really works for me is just grabbing the kettlebells for 10 minutes a day, 4 or 5 times a day. You know, and that's what all the experts are saying. Chris Trinabaugh
was a big kettlebell guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
all right, so what's your green screen behind you there?
That's North Berwick in Scotland.
Scotland.
Yeah. That's the hole number one at North Berwick. And we used to tease everybody and say that if you end up on the beach, you've done it right. Because the green opens up. You can't really see the picture, but
is that seaweed out there or is that rocky outcropping?
It's rocks and seaweed both. And there's a couple of people. I don't know if you can see the people walking on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
So when the tide comes in, it's kind of up around where they're walking.
Yeah.
North Berwick is one of my favorite places. The rock walls, the unique greens, and it's must. If you go to Scotland, yeah, you want to go see St. Andrews, you want to do that stuff, but you have to go see North Berwick because it is singularly unique architecture wise, and it's got that big Barrett's green with a giant, dip in the middle. One of the coolest parts about North Berwick is there's a children's course. There's a few whole children's course there.
Really?
And there are specific rules for the children's course. And so the young people have a cool place to play. It is the original, deal of that. And if you've never seen the rules for the children's course at North Berwick, it's pretty cool. It's just posted on a rock wall, it's all about having fun there, right? It's community. That's the cool part of
having fun is good. Community is good too.
Right.
So we're going to ring the bell on this where the time is traveling along here.
Ding, ding.
I want to thank you for helping me walk through this frosty thing.
I owed you one.
Well, you gave me some guidance, man, that was very helpful in that you said, grief comes in waves.
Comes in waves. Yeah.
And to give yourself space, just give yourself physical and time space too, I guess, to deal with it. But
I don't know if I told you this or, somebody said, is it getting easier? And I go, no, it doesn't get easier. It gets more familiar.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm always going to have that pain of all the different losses. That's what grief is about, but it gets familiar and you learn to deal with it. And then those waves aren't quite as big, but man, at first it's a freaking tsunami, dude. It's not just the tide easing in here behind me. It's a huge wave.
A lot of people were not dog people or whatever.
It doesn't matter. You're going to lose something in your life.
Frosty was the seventh of ours to leave us and arguably the worst.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And interestingly, my friend Brian postulated that perhaps my connection with him was so strong because both of us were damaged. Well, and I mean, you said that in all sincerity, in all seriousness, that Frosty certainly had his challenges. I mean, time and health overall was not.
Hey, man, I said it over and over again with Bruce. Who rescued who? I thought I rescued Bruce, but shit, a couple of times, if dogs could talk, that dog talked to me. It's like, he knew when I was out of whack and he would come and stay by my side and, he wouldn't leave me. And he, was like, okay, you're not going to leave me. I'm not going to leave you. We're going to do this. That's pretty big. So I'd never had a dog do that with me. Right. I had great dogs, but this was a whole other level dog.
I agree.
Yeah, man.
Okay. We've been all over the map here on this one.
Round six.
Coming up, we're going to have some puppy talk, I think, over the next month.
We got
to talk about pizza ovens, maybe.
Yeah.
Talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Talk about new hobbies and good stuff like that. Today? The 9th of December. We'll do another one before Christmas.
Yeah, hope so. Why not?
Yeah.
All right, Peter. Well, thank you, as always. And you guys, thank you for listening. We appreciate that. The feedback has been really incredible, and we put nothing but organic work into this, you know? And that's unscripted for a reason. So I love it. This has been
kind of funnest podcast we've ever done. Kind of goes where it wants to go. So
that's great.
Better for worse. All right, Dave, we're going to ring the bell. Take care, everybody. All right. We will catch up with you again shortly.